I'm going to introduce my friend tonight, who is going to introduce our guest for tonight. Our guest is my friend too, but we talked via Skype several months back in South Africa, and he is here. He's going to be sharing about what he and his wife do for ministry in South Africa. It's a fantastic ministry. Wanted to have them here for months, and the schedules all worked out, and it was just a perfect week for it all to come together. And I don't want to take any more time, so I want to invite Daniel Guy to come up to give us some introductions, and we'll get started on tonight. So you guys give it up for Daniel. It's so good to see you, Daniel.
Thanks, Mike. Oh, well, thank you. If you're looking at me and saying, wait, he played guitar last week, he wasn't in South Africa, that's right. I'm not the one from South Africa. But we do have some wonderful, wonderful guests that are here with us tonight. Whenever I first talked with Pastor Mike about this a few months ago, he said, the date for this is incredible because I'm not even going to be there that night. We're going to be in the hospital because Daisy's giving birth. So he was actually a false prophet long before a week ago. But it has worked out very well. But this couple that's here tonight, they're wonderful friends of Esther and mine. We've known them for a long time. How many years? 5, 6 years now. We met them whenever we were working with a church plant in Washington, D.C. And some of you who have heard the stories about Washington, D.C. and heard some of the hard times that we had, these two were not responsible. They were actually lifesavers during that time. They really helped us through some hard stuff, and we helped them through some things as well. And God just formed a great friendship and a great team during those years, and we've been happy to keep up with them ever since. Shortly after they got married, we, Esther and I, went to the Philippines, then they traveled the world, ended up in South Africa, and now they're here in Springfield. That's always how it goes with Springfield, right? You go around the world to, you know, move a block. And anyway, I just want to welcome Jed and Janelle Schroy and their little one, Reagan. Janelle, can you stand? Reagan's awake now. So, but if you would, just welcome them here tonight.
Thanks.
Sure. And go ahead. Have a seat. Have a seat. Make yourself at home. But what they're doing in South Africa now, it's a really unique approach to missions, and it's something that you may have heard about as they'll begin to describe, or as Jed will begin to describe what they're doing there. It might sound a little bit familiar to you, but it is something that is really catching on. It's something that a lot of people are getting very excited about. They have an organization called Paradigm Shift, and through this, they're reaching not just churches, but entire communities in South Africa. And I'm going to just kind of be quiet and let you share a little bit. Just tell us what Paradigm Shift is all about. What are you guys doing there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good evening, church. In South Africa, we, in a nutshell, we equip churches to empower entrepreneurs. And we do that through four key ways: basic business training, microfinance, mentoring, and discipleship in the urban context. South Africa is an interesting place. It's where kind of first and third worlds meet. And you have a country where you have incredible wealth and you have incredible poverty. 1 in 3 people don't have work. 42% of children grow up in homes where neither parent is employed. And when we engage with churches, we say, what is the gospel, the good news mean to someone who struggles to put food on the table? What does it mean for us to be the embodiment of Christ here in this community? And for churches that work with Paradigm Shift, they recognize that it's word and it's also deed.
That's great. One of the things that you mentioned as one of your four main areas of working with the community there is microfinance. Can you explain a little bit what that is? I mean, that's kind of a buzzword in some ways right now, but maybe a lot of people don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, kind of throwing it back to the 1960s, early 70s, it was kind of the modern era of what is now modern microfinance. It's not difficult to understand. It's small loans. to the entrepreneurial poor who are working themselves out of poverty. So in the 1970s, it started gaining some traction all the way up to 2005, where the UN declared it the year of microcredit. Muhammad Yunus won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2005 for his work in microcredit, microfinance. And it's really been a fascinating journey as it's been one of the most effective development tools we've seen, where over the course of the 35 years that it's been around, or a little bit more, 40 now, there's about 10,000 microfinance groups in the world serving about 6% of the market need. It's incredible. There's the entrepreneurial poor, maybe I'll say that. It's not just somebody who's poor, but it's somebody who says, you know what, I have a skill set in my hands that I can do something with. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to make something of this. And it doesn't matter if they're a carpenter by trade or a seamstress or a food vendor. It's something that they have a skill, a knowledge, a know-how, something that God has put in their life to work, to that they're created to work, and they exemplify that. And so microfinance is basically a small amount of capital to see their business grow to a next level so that it's more profitable. And that they can put that profits back into their business, into their family needs, into savings and the like.
What I guess I would say, why microfinance? Why this avenue of reaching people in South Africa?
You know, microfinance in general, it's you look around and we asked ourselves, my wife and I, in 2007, late 2006, and said, "How it's such a powerful development tool. How is the church, the global body of Christ, in the developing world, how is the church engaging with microfinance? And what ways, what are successful ways in which it's been done?" And really looking around, it's not a model that churches in the developing world have used. And so for my wife and I, we said, you know, it's a missed opportunity for the church not to be able to use one of the most powerful development tools and use it for the gospel. And so for us, it resonates with who God has created us to be, that work is a blessing and not a curse. That through it we find calling and identity and satisfaction. And when you don't have work, there's some incredible challenges. Actually, the World Bank asked 60,000 poor people in 60 different developing countries, if you were to define poverty, how would you define it? And interesting enough, the poor in the developing world didn't describe poverty as far as a lack of sufficient calories or shelter or food. The way they describe poverty is words like hopelessness, inferiority, despair, things that go way beyond just the physical realm and into the identity of a person. And so, you know, we believe that you know, as believers, that God has called things to have life where there's death, and that God has called people to not only work and how it's beneficial, but how it impacts that person and how they're created to be, how God's created them to be.
Wow, that's you put some thought into that. That's great. That's an awesome way to see that. And I love what you said just a little earlier about how you're really teaching people to work themselves out of poverty. It's not just training them to receive a handout or, something along those lines. So that's a really, that's an awesome work you guys are doing. That's just some important stuff. And, tell us a little bit about your story. You know, how did you two end up in South Africa doing this?
Yeah, that's a big question, and it's almost asking someone, how'd you end up where you are? It's a tapestry of what God has done in our lives. from an early age. You know, I love Ephesians 2:10, where it says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. And that we are God's workmanship, and that word in the Greek and how it connotates this work of art. I don't know if you've heard Corey Ten Boom say that our lives are kind of like the back of tags in which you look at on the reverse side, and it's just strings going one way and another. And when you flip it over, it's recognizable. There's words, there's print, there's a picture, there's an emblem, there's something. And I would say the same for our journey. Obviously, the first step was coming into a life changing experience with the love of God, for him to change our heart from stone to a heart of flesh, and having a vibrant relationship with him, and with that, wanting to share that with those around us, and taking opportunities in our own community and also outside of our community, and going on short-term missions where we are exposed to God's heart for the world, that God's plan and purpose is for people all across the world to come to a knowledge of him. And so, you know, it influenced our life experience. It influenced our educational pursuits, our professional career aspirations. And I think when we came together, we really resonated that life for us was about missions and about business. And Paradigm Shift is really a culmination of kind of God's expression in our lives and the fruit of that.
I love that aspect of how it's very much a a business in a lot of ways. That's something that you're really you're training people to do, to learn how to run businesses. But the whole thing has been just birthed and continues to be sustained by your relationship with Christ. That's amazing. And one of the other things that you mentioned as part of your four key components is discipleship. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit about your discipleship process? Like, how do you use discipleship in Paradigm Shift?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And I think one that we continually need to come back to is people that work in kind of development. I think as we've gone across and experienced different Christian development programs, a lot of times we can get caught up in the works of good deeds and good works, and kind of leaving off that gospel component, whether out of convenience or out of just time or what have you. And so for us, discipleship was something that needed to go hand in hand in everything that we did. That if we see people's businesses improve, but we don't see heart transformation happening, then what have we really done in the long term? And so discipleship, maybe I can just describe an entrepreneur's journey for you and how they encounter a local church in their area and what it means. So, for example, Edwin is an entrepreneur. He makes wire and beaded products. If you have a brochure on your table, he's on the front cover. He's in that red shirt in the corner. Edwin, he was actually a Roman Catholic when he came into the program, and he came because he was interested in growing his business. He heard of a church in his community offering a business training. He has a small business. He wants to grow it. He wants to make it even more successful than it was. So he's motivated. He comes to an all-day training on a Saturday where the church isn't overtly kind of, you know, thumping him on the head with the Bible, but they are sharing a couple key scriptural truths. You know, Deuteronomy 8:18, the Lord your God has given you the power to be successful. And in Proverbs 21, I think it's 5, that good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. And kind of having that exposure, knowing that this is a church offering a business training in my community, opening the day in prayer, closing the day in prayer, there's this sense that there's value placed on the Bible, there's value placed in God's expression in our lives. And what that does is it's a relationship builder with entrepreneurs in the community, with the church. And from there, we say, hey, you can stop here or you can continue on for 18 weeks. And it doesn't happen on a Saturday, and it's not an intensive 8-hour training on a weekend. but it's 1 hour per week. It functions a lot like a small group or a cell group where entrepreneurs come back and they're going to do three different things. They're going to, for 30 minutes, look at a basic business topic. Marketing, budgeting, advertising, pricing, etc. And then for 30 minutes, we're going to look at a topic found in Scripture that has application as entrepreneurs. So we're going to look at pursuing truth and wisdom, to becoming people of character and integrity, to what does the Bible say about work, about money, about the pain that we experience in life, to the claims of Christ and to the role of the Holy Spirit, so that it's a side-by-side track where entrepreneurs are growing in their business knowledge, but they're also discovering spiritual truths that are happening, and they're grappling with that together. Another part of how discipleship happens is through these one-on-one mentoring relationships. And this is really powerful. Maybe you can resonate with this, where if you're in the marketplace, you're in business, and you're doing, you know, marketing or advertising 9 to 5, and you say, what do my skill sets mean in building the kingdom of God? And I would say there's definitely application for it, that we're finding mentors in South Africa coming alongside budding entrepreneurs and in helping share hope for the future. Long-term planning on how to grow their business, but in the same sense, sharing a faith journey with them of you know, the implications of God on their family and their life and their business. And so we're seeing some fascinating things of how the Holy Spirit is working in people's lives to bring true and lasting transformation.
I love seeing how that works together. As you mentioned, the side-by-side track, that's just that's great. And you know, it's like they learn the practical aspects, you know, they're really seeing the application of Scripture instantly, you know, how to put it into practice and how to live it out as they're being trained. Let me ask you a question, and then I'll kind of explain what I mean by it, if that's all right.
Sure.
I want to ask, like, how can churches, or how can the church here be a part of supporting what you're doing, or be a part of paradigm shift? And the reason that I want to ask that is we're all part of this community of faith. And one of the great things about Scripture, you know, in Ephesians 4, Paul writes about how we're all one body. We're united by one Spirit, one faith, one Lord, and how we're all one. And there's no separations by, you know, things like ethnicity or nationality or even distance. And, I mean, we think about what's going on in Joplin right now, how people all over the United States, all over the world, are sending support in order to help out the people in Joplin. But at the same time, I mean, that shows that universal community. But at the same time, if there's not a local community, if there's not people there to assist, then all those resources and all the help that's sent is, you know, it's going to be for nothing. And it seems like, you know, in this situation, you have the mentors who are there. You have that local community in place. But how can we be a part of that global community to help out and to be a part of what you're doing?
Man, that's a great question. Maybe the Holy Grail. I'm not sure how it all fits together. I know that you know, in Corinthians, where it says that we are the ambassadors of Christ, we are the aroma of Christ. And I think taking that in the local context and saying everywhere I place my foot, everywhere I place my hand, I am the expression of Christ wherever that's taking me. And that's in the local context. And this is for my wife and I and the team members there. We have about 15 on our team. For them, it's cross-cultural. It's outside of their home country, in a place where we want to be the expression, the aroma of Christ in that country. So I'd say, you know, obviously prayer, that there's no distance to prayer, and keeping kind of the understanding of how Christ's kingdom is expanding, and how meeting some practical needs and creating opportunities for ministry, and praying that God holds up and strengthens the hands of volunteers who are many times South African, reaching out to their own community. Obviously, financial support and all that goes with that. There's all sorts of different ways. I don't know if I have a clean and packaged way of how a church comes together and impacts them.
As you're describing the discipleship and training programs that you do as well, and kind of like just maybe some testimonies, how effective have you seen this program be in the churches and the communities? And you already gave an example of an individual, but maybe some other stories that you might have of just the impacts that you've seen this make in people's lives.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what we've determined is if we're doing a noble effort, but there's really no tangible fruit on the other side, then we may just be wasting our time. And so we've asked the entrepreneurs, what has this meant in your life and in your business? What they've reported back to us is after 20 weeks of training, where they've received a microloan, they've come to these business trainings, these discipleship sessions, they've received a mentor. How it's impacted their lives is they've realized a 72% income in their business revenues. That means their businesses are growing. We found that on average they support 5 dependents, that there's 5 mouths that are looking to them for sustenance, many of them children or vulnerable individuals. We found that 14% of entrepreneurs have given their lives to Christ for the first time, and many others deepening their walk with Christ as a result of a local church walking this journey with them. So maybe a couple examples is, I'll share, I talked about Edwin, he was a Roman Catholic. He came into the program and really had an encounter with Christ, gave his heart to the Lord, and had a birth of new life inside of him. We asked Edwin, what has this meant to your business? And his business had grown by 40%. I went up to Edwin's business. It's in a 3-story high apartment complex. His 1-bedroom apartment in Johannesburg is the same place in which he does his work. But what I was shocked to see is when I entered the doors of the apartment, there's his wife and 4 other young men who are working on beaded products, and how he is not only providing income for himself, but it's now impacting others in his community, which is just really fantastic. He's creating an opportunity for meaningful employment for others. And I remember being at one of the trainings as just watching a trained volunteer team execute the partnership program, and I noticed Edwin on the corner of the room with 3 or 4 other entrepreneurs that were gathered around holding hands, and they were praying for the healing of Edwin's son who had a skin condition. And Edwin reported back the following week that God had miraculously healed his son. And it just the expression of the Holy Spirit just bringing life where there was once deadness, which is really fantastic. I think of Sipiwe. Sipiwe is a Zimbabwean entrepreneur. I don't know if you know too much of what's happened and transpired in Zimbabwe over the last 2 years or 3 years. I was utterly fascinated when I found out that the money in September of 2008 doubled every day for 9 months. Can you imagine that a dollar today is worth 2 tomorrow, is worth 4 tomorrow? Well, that would be amazing in our bank accounts. But that's not great when you actually have to lop off 12 zeros off your currency. It completely goes dead. And you have a quarter of Zimbabwe's population living outside of the country. Why? Because they're seeking economic stability. So Sipiwe is one of those entrepreneurs. She came to South Africa with her husband. He's a cabinet maker, in and out of work. She starts a small business selling all sorts of different things on really the side of the road. And her husband always laughed at her business and said, this is nothing. You know, her husband actually contracted a lung disease because of the dust and the stuff that he was inhaling as a cabinet maker, and her small business was able to support him and their two children for 5 months as he recovered from this illness. And you know what was amazing is her husband is hostile towards God, really doesn't want anything to do with him, and Sipiwe had a mentor from a local church, and she had given her life to the Lord. She got baptized and is now saying, what does this implication mean for my husband? How do I share the gospel in a way that makes sense and is meaningful? And her mentor came alongside of her and said, you know, don't be too pushy. You know, by living your life of godliness and purity, you know, show him by your actions that the love of God is inside you. And so she did that, and he still was hostile towards God, and he actually, he got arrested for intoxication, and was sitting in a local jail cell in Johannesburg. The bond in dollars, it was about $500, far beyond what this micro entrepreneur had in the bank account, and it was the first time that her husband was, Sipiwe's husband was open for prayer. And Sipiwe prayed with her husband. Soon after that came that the bond was reduced to $50. And it was for the first time he realized that God, maybe God answers prayer. And his heart started to soften. And we're praying that his heart can gets completely transformed by the power of Christ. But that's the kind of transformation where we're seeing the seeds of the gospel planted in entrepreneurs' lives are bearing fruit and seeing transformation happen in and around them.
That's awesome. And that really shows that even though this, you know, this ministry and this this business, you know, they're very pragmatic in a lot of ways, but you guys really, I mean, you depend on the Holy Spirit. It's not like it's just, you know, a shop that you've set up. You're depending on God to move through you, and that's amazing to hear those testimonies where God is blessing your work and just changing people's hearts and lives. That's awesome to hear.
Absolutely, and I think that's for us, and we continually want to be dependent on the Holy Spirit, that it's not by our efforts, but by Him empowering and energizing our efforts and breathing on them. And I would say the same for all of us in this room as we go about our daily activities. And what may seem, you know, smaller and significant in one action, God, you know, if we submit it to Him and say, you know, today I want my energies, my actions to be energized by the Holy Spirit, seeing something that might be mundane or might not have what we think the eternal weight or eternal value, has significant impact when it's put in God's hands. And I think I'm continually encouraged by, you know, the boy that Jesus took his two fish and five loaves and turned into a feast for thousands. I'm continually inspired that at the end of the day, without God's supernatural power, at the end of the day, it's just the boy's lunch. But in the hands of God and in the hands of His miraculous ability, He can multiply it and do things that we can never imagine.
Awesome. We're getting close to time to wrap up. I just want to share a couple of things with everyone before I get some final thoughts from you. You'll see over to your right a table that we have set up. It's got some of the products that some of the people you were talking about have put together. Some of the bead and bead creations are over there, and feel free to check those out. They are available for sale if you'd like to buy any. They make great gifts. Esther's bought some to take back to the Philippines with her, and I'll be alone for a while. But they make great gifts, and also feel free to come up and speak with Jed and Janelle if you want to know more about what they're doing, how they got involved with microfinance. It's actually something that they were doing here in the States before they went to South Africa. You know, they'll be here for a little while after the service tonight. Also, tomorrow evening, we're going to be just getting together at Fria, Frozen Yogurt Bar downtown, and just have a very informal time to learn more about who these guys are, what they're doing. And so if you'd like to come, you're invited. Just come on out and bring some questions, and I would love to see you there. And also, finally, you know, make sure that you pick up one of the brochures that we have there on the table for you before you leave tonight. So, Jed, before we wrap up, any closing thoughts, anything you want to share with everyone here?
I think Paradigm Shift is an attempt or an expression of God's justice and his heart for the poor. And I think, as I've read through the Bible from the beginning to the end, you see some themes come out. And obviously one is that God is a God of love, that God is a God of compassion and mercy and graciousness. And there's over and over in the Old Testament and in the New where you see God's heart for the poor, for the vulnerable, for the alien, for the widow, for the orphan. And I would say, you know, as we're Christ ambassadors, as we are his aroma, I would pray that we would have that in the forefront of our minds, that God's heart is for the down and out and for the people that society kind of casts along to the side and says, you know, they're really not that important, for people in Joplin who are suffering some you know, a challenging situation where their lives are being torn apart, and signing up to be a volunteer and saying, I'm going to be an expression of Christ and the aroma of those that utter destruction and havoc has represented or has been a part of their experience. And I would say, you know, continuing to look at opportunities, whether it's in a structured way like that, in a structured way like Paradigm Shift, or an unstructured way of seeing you know, a single mom that needs some grocery money, or seeing a need in which, you know, you can be hands and feet of Christ and really see the power of God energizing your efforts to do that.
Well, thank you. That's some good stuff to think about. And just thanks for your time. Thanks for coming to see us tonight. Thank all of you for letting us have a chat in front of you, and for being attentive. Thank you so much for your support and for your prayers. And I know that they'll really appreciate, just remember them in your prayer time as they're working there in South Africa, that, you know, God will continue to bless the ministry, continue to bring in more churches that'll partner with them, continue to bring in more entrepreneurs as Paradigm Shift grows. These communities grow stronger. These churches grow healthier. And as they become healthier, they'll begin to send out missionaries and send out people like them to other countries, to other nations, in order to build them up and help them to grow in their understanding of who God wants them to be. So thank you so much, Pastor Mike.
Thank you, Jed and Janelle. Thank you both for being here today. And it's just a privilege to have you here. And I tell you why. I've thought about microfinance and microcredit ever since, you know, the whole concept and everything was the Nobel Peace Prize and everything. And I tell you what, this is an absolute, and I don't say this after everyone comes through, but I really believe this is an ingenious, spirit-inspired kind of ministry. And I tell you why, I've been doing a lot of thinking lately about what it means. This may seem like a rabbit trail, but I've been doing a lot of thinking lately about what it means to be a Pentecostal. And, you know, I am a Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed of that. And I think it's interesting that our second general council, as Assemblies of God is a Pentecostal movement, at the second general council in 1914, the fall of 1914, the Assemblies of God set out, as it declared in its statement there, the Assemblies of God exists to be the greatest evangelistic effort that the world has ever seen. And I think that a part of that, being a Pentecostal, is more than just speaking in tongues. If there's another word to describe it, it is holistic kind of ministry. And the reason why I say this is an ingenious kind of ministry is because this is truly, it is truly holistic. This is not just about feeding the poor, as important as that is, but this is about trying to help people break the kind of generational poverty that just can go on and on and on. This is really about trying to put tools. And I would love, I know we gave an offering last week and we didn't anticipate Joplin happening. But I think it would be great, Jed and Janelle, if we could somehow give enough money to see several microfinance loans happen through Paradigm Shift, and it'd be our privilege to do that. So we are going to give tonight. But I also wanted to say that it's important for us to pray, because a part of this greatest evangelistic effort the world has ever known is, I want to be kind in how I say this. This is not just about an American kind of movement. This is a global movement. And as we train and equip South Africans, Africans, Europeans, et cetera, this is about the greatest evangelistic work the world has ever known. And it has to be a concerted effort together, where we are seeing indigenous people come up and begin to evangelize their families and then their communities. And I want to say that Jed and Janelle, you're in a place, you're in a community that really gets that. And we want to partner with you not only in prayer but also in our finances. And if it would be okay, Janelle, I know you've got the baby. Would it be okay to have you come up? And Jed, if you want to come up, and I'm going to ask Savo, if you would. I see Savo back there. Would you mind coming? I know you've got Severin in your arms there, Savo. Bring him on up if you want to, brother. We'll do baby dedication right now, dude. Well, I'm just kidding. Not unless you want to, Savo, whatever. But Savo is actually returning to Kenya here in just a little bit. So another African, a brother from another mother, knows how to pray for another African, South African. So it's great to see you. Savo, come on up, my friend. And we want to pray for you. Can we stand together? And I'll give instructions after we pray. And let's stand together for them. We really believe this is not only a good couple to invest our prayers in, but also our money. But we want to pray a prayer covering. Oh, sweetie, you are so beautiful. And we want to receive that. So would you stretch your hands for us, Savo, here? Would you pray over Jed and Janelle?
Father, we thank you for what you are doing through Jed and Janelle. Thank you for how you brought this about. We praise you, God, that you who has begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. God, not just to complete it, but to help it grow exponentially, to change lives powerfully, and God, to transform communities, villages, homes. Oh God, we pray for your anointing to move powerfully, Lord, through them. We pray that you would continue to give them wisdom and grace as they oversee Paradigm Shift. We pray, God, for inroads and favor with councils and Lord, leaders in communities, Father, in South Africa. Father, we pray for that there to be, regardless of their race or color or origin, God, that they would have favor, God, beyond what they could imagine with the South Africans. Lord, they would have favor among those who are poor, oh God, that they would not look at them, God, with suspicion. That, Lord, you would do away with that. Father, I pray that their testimony would go before them, that you would hem them behind and before. Father, we pray in your mighty name now, God, just continue to increase in their hearts the capacity to envision, to dream, God, to see more happen. Father, we pray that we would see more of the poor, God, that those entrepreneurs, God, begin to grasp that which you are capable of doing in and through them. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, bless Paradigm Shift. And God, as it grows, that you would bring about those who are faithful, those who are loyal to you and to your truth, God, that they would also help Jed and Janelle, God, that you would surround them with such people, oh God. And to you be all the glory now. Continue to be with them, with their baby, and in their home life, Lord Jesus, bless them. God, as things grow, God, bless them increasingly and abundantly, Father. Protect them, we pray, oh God, with all the things that are going on in South Africa. Father, I pray specifically, South Africa has so many immigrants. God, we pray in your name that through Paradigm Shift that we would see so many missionaries going back to their people, that Zimbabwe would experience many people coming to going back to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in that environment and to help as they have been helped, oh Lord Jesus. be it so according to your mighty name, Father, and that it would be that the things that they have heard in the presence of many witnesses, that they would entrust to reliable men and women who would also be able to teach others. To you alone be all the glory. Empower them according to you, your only mighty power. Jesus, we love you and we entrust them into your able hands. Thank you for them. Amen. Yeah.